Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike.
I'm Zach.
And today we are joined with Joe DePete of the Airline Pilots Association International and Bill Cowett, who is in charge of their safety program. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Really pleased to be here.
And a large part of unions and what they do is actually working on safety, but a lot of people aren't aware of that. What kind of things is ALPA working on in the safety arena?
Oh, boy. That is a big question, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, it is.
Well, a lot of people don't realize it, but the Airline Pilots Association, you know, we represent over 62,000 pilots at 35 airlines in the United States and Canada. And in my previous role as first vice president, before I took the job as president, I was tasked with overseeing the entire safety organization, which is about 450 dedicated pilots who dedicate their entire careers to specific disciplines in safety, security, pilot assistance, and jump seats. And so I will say that, and it's backed up with a full-time engineering airship staff, engineering air safety staff. So we work on literally everything that goes into the airplane, how we interact, the airspace, problems with integration with unmanned aerial systems or drones, commercial space, the design of the airspace, just you name it, we're involved in it. And we have pilots literally working on all of that.
And when they're working on all of these safety things, sometimes some people disagree on what is the safest course.
Right.
And in what ways do you work to with them in order to with the company with the FAA
right.
in order to promote a culture of safety?
Well, one of the good things is one of the reasons why we have the safest air transportation system in the world, really, is through a very aggressive data collection effort and the acknowledgement that really when you look at if you look at what's gone on in the last, say, several decades, the most important safety component on any aircraft is what we like to say, right, Bill? If we
yes.
say it is two well-trained, fully qualified pilots. And it really does make a difference. And it's just the record shows that the focus on safety. So when companies focus on safety, they're really focusing on the future and profits of their company. They're doing it well. Obviously, if they don't, the way I think our FAA acting administrator, Dan Elwell, said it quite eloquently when he said, safety, it has to be primary in your companies. And he said, if it doesn't, it will manifest itself in very dramatic fashion. And I think it's well said. So.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, the record of safety, as you mentioned, in the United States is impeccable. The last air carrier crash, if I'm not mistaken, was the Colgan crash in Buffalo.
Absolutely right.
So when you have had that run of success, I think the thing you probably worry about is complacency. How do you combat that at ALPA to keep pilots on their toes and not just thinking, we're the best, we're going to just ride this all the way through?
Yeah, you know, it's another really good question. It's actually built into the system because through that aggressive data collection effort that I mentioned that had begun back in the late 90s, there are over 150 data streams going into a program called ASIAS, the Aviation Safety Information Analysis and Sharing Program. And the folks over at MITRE crunched that data, and they actually have gone from a forensic mode of looking at aircraft accidents, like waiting for something to happen and then try to figure out how come it happened and why. Now it's actually a risk predictive model, so it's all the more important to be proactive with that information coming in. It's more critical now because there are less accidents. So how do you know, right? How are you doing? You say, you know, do we become complacent? Because does the absence of accidents truly mean that we're safe? And can we do better? And that's where that proactive model really comes in.
And where do you get most of your information that goes into the ASIAS?
Good question. No, you guys did your homework. I appreciate that. Well, we have a fellow pilot here, right?
I mean, I might have flown an airplane
you might
once
have
or twice.
An airplane for a time. In fact, the same model that I fly, right?
But can you either confirm or deny?
We will not mention our respective companies because it's like the two opposed companies. But we get it through various programs like through the voluntary safety action programs, which are essential because when a pilot or anybody working in aviation sees a problem and they, you know, see something, say something kind of thing, they're afforded a certain benefit of the doubt, let's just put it that way. And basically that, because that's the important information, right? That if they felt uncomfortable about coming forward with the information because they feel like they may have done something wrong or anything. That's the critical weak point in the system that you really want to know about. So again, it's the great thing about here in the United States is it's built into the system. So
we're speaking with Joe DePeat, president of the Airline Pilots Association, and Bill Kuwood. He's the vice president of administration and in charge of professional development. You guys, as ALPA, are here at EAA. You have a presence. Pilots can come talk to you. Where can they find you? What can they get from you?
So,
Bill, you take that one.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thanks, Joe. And thanks for having us today. So, we are located in the Charlie Building, 3026. And we are also at KidVention. And what we do in the professional development group is basically we reach out with, it's three of our national committees, Education Committee, Membership Committee, and Leadership Committee. Primarily our Membership and Education Committee members are here this week along with a lot of volunteers. But we do outreach to universities. We have 11 formal MOUs, Memorandums of Understanding, with flight universities in the U.S. and Canada. And we come in and we talk to the students about what it's like to be an airline pilot. We're here this week to have people stop by the booths and talk about what a cool job it is, and that the office that we have has the best view of any office in the world. And you know, it's really great. We have over 2,000 volunteers with the Education Committee. Our outreach goes not only with the universities, but with the grade schools and high schools. Last year's academic year, we had over 21,000 students that we talked to about aviation and all the different things there are to do. And as Joe mentioned earlier, we do have members here on site that are volunteers for the EAA, or they've flown in warbirds. And so we are interviewing them as well and finding out, you know, what they do. The thing about it is with ALPA, we're a pilot union, but at the same time, we have many members that do a lot of other things as well.
So obviously there's a pilot shortage, and obviously that impacts us in many different ways, and that's one of the reasons why you're doing outreach and probably why you're over at KidVention. What kind of activities do you have going on for the kids at KidVention?
We're actually working in conjunction with the FAA over there, and our booth is set up with a Cessna 150. And the students, as they go through and learn different aspects of aviation, the physics of flying and things like that, they actually end up at our booth and they do a walk around. And there's 10 things that are maybe a problem for flight with the aircraft. And so they find those 10 things. Once they're done and they write them down on a piece of paper on a clipboard, we give them their wings. So pilots are actually handing that off and the kids are loving it.
And what age group do you really have that focused for?
Pardon?
What age group are you focusing on, again, for kids for that?
You know, in that particular aspect, we're mainly focusing on grade school. Yep.
Check rides for kids.
Yes, check rides for kids.
I started early.
1-800 check rides for kids. Both of you mentioned it. You've both been pilots for a long time, even though you're union officials now. Piloting is what you love to do.
Absolutely.
Why should someone choose this as a career? Sell it to us here.
Oh, well, you know, I tell you what, I could tell you right now, because this is the first time I've ever been here, all right? And I don't know why it took so long. But the first president to go, right, Bill? And mm-hmm. Bill's got
Absolutely.
Me to go to Emory-Riddle. Now I'm starting to go around to the different schools. When I walked through the gates here, I immediately saw nothing but the love of flying. I really, like Bill said, it's the best office, right? You could sit, best seat you ever can have. When I look back, I feel so lucky to have had a career like this. It's just a fantastic career. Part of the Airline Pilots Association job, besides safety, is to keep it a great career, to try to do that. But I did notice that when I came in here. In fact, at the dinner last night, I was looking around the room and I thought, wow, there's a lot of people in here that they're not talking about anything, you know, business related or anything like that, just talking about the sheer love of doing something. And it's so cool if you have a choice. If it means that much to be able to do it as your job, not just part of your job, but as your job, that's quite a privilege. I love. Never look back.
Well, and then we'll have you put on your other hat as union leadership here.
Sure.
What are the issues facing the current pilot workforce? What are you working on at the legislative level, individually with your companies? What are the big deals there?
Well, obviously, safety is number one, right? So we, across the board, we're developing. for the new entrance into the airspace, we want safe integration, obviously maintain the high standard of safety that we have. And that's a very involved area, but that's one of the things we did. But secondarily, you know, a mention of the pilot shortage, really, when you look at it, the number of people with the that have licenses sufficient to come to work into the industry is almost double, really. The airline transport certificates, right? When you look at the numbers out there. So what is preventing people from flowing into the industry? So I like to say it's not like a pilot shortage as much as it's a pilot pay shortage. It's a really tough area to get into. And I was in the military, so I came out of the military and I was right into the majors. But my own daughter, she came up from the civilian ranks, right? You know, obviously everybody here knows what we're talking about here and how difficult that is to come up the ranks. But and it's a very expensive. It can be a very expensive proposition as well. And you need to have some belief that at some point in your life that you'll be able to make an adequate living and pay back your student loans and, you know, have a family and be able to feed your family. And I'll finish it with this. There isn't much trouble attracting pilots for United, Delta, FedEx, and UPS, and there's a reason for that. And as the pay has now swung in the other direction, we've noticed, and right, Bill? Even, yep. And Bill knows a lot about the regional world in our area. Kind of effectively, there was a caste system for quite some time.
Joe DePete, Bill Cowett of the Airline Pilots Association, thank you for joining us, because I know we could keep talking forever.
Oh, yeah, we could.
All righty, so we'll take a break. We'll be right back on EAA Radio.